Bloomington aldermen have approved a new Parks and Recreation Master Plan, something that could inform the city's budget priorities for 2020 and beyond. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner joins GLT's Ryan Denham in studio to talk about that and more.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us most weeks after their regularly scheduled council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Great to be here as usual, Ryan. Thank you.
Well, before we get into the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, I wanted to start with some comments from Bloomington Police Chief Clay Wheeler about his department's new policy on handling immigration matters. So this traces back to the Welcoming City Ordinance discussions last summer. A Bloomington alderman never were able to reach a deal on such an ordinance, which would have restricted how and when Bloomington police talk with federal immigration authorities. Across town, Normal Town Council did pass an ordinance. I know when all this happened, you asked Chief Wheeler to develop a policy himself. And here's what he recently told GLT's Eric Stock in an interview.
For the most part, is it something that doesn't really occur at all? If there were to be something that immigration would ask for, if they were to go look for violent offenders and ask for our help or something, it'd have to be something that we at a command level would make a decision on based upon the needs of the community.
Mayor Renner, what can you tell us about what you know about this new policy and what it means for residents of Bloomington?
Right. And I'm very, Clay is outstanding and has done an outstanding job. And I think this is an important policy so that people in our community understand that we really are a welcoming city and that if they have seen a crime, they can call. We are not going to ask them about their immigration status. We are not going to do ICE's work for them. If they've been a victim of a crime, they can call the police, and we are not going to ask them about their immigration status. Now, that doesn't mean that we wouldn't communicate with ICE if they were to contact us, and I think that's part of what Chief Wheeler was suggesting. The difficulty with a policy is a policy could change from one police chief who's instituted that to another, and that's why I supported a welcoming city ordinance. Unfortunately, a majority of the council did not support a welcoming city ordinance. We actually debated that for about a year and a half and could not come to any kind of conclusions. We went back and forth and back and forth. Normal did it in one meeting. And I think that speaks well. The Welcoming City Ordinance, by the way, is not a sanctuary city ordinance. It is a welcoming city that says we are a changing, diverse community. We welcome that diversity. We embrace that diversity. That diversity is a strength in our community. And we, regardless of your immigration status, we do not do ICE's work for them. And so please understand that you are part of our community, and if you've been a victim, as I say, mainly if you've been a victim of a crime or if you've seen a crime, please don't be afraid of the police. So I think those are the kinds of things. I went as far as I could in a proclamation that I issued last summer without council approval, that is with the residual authority of the mayor, and that also included asking the police chief to come up with some internal policies, and I'm very glad that he did. I still hope that we can at some point get an ordinance similar to the one that was passed in Normal. Maybe after the elections, we can do so.
And this policy, one of the sort of hallmarks of it is that, communications with ICE, and if ICE asks for something, that runs through the command staff. It'll run through either the chief's office or a designee if he's not available. Why wasn't this something that you or others in the city, have touted more vocally, the fact that this policy has been established? I mean, this sort of was the issue du jour for weeks and weeks last summer.
Well, if Chief Wheeler has arrived at something,
isn't that something to talk about, brag about?
It could be something for us to talk about and brag about. Frankly, lately we've been, and myself included, primarily myself perhaps, and other budget staff, we've been working on and discussing capital projects and the budget situation and some other issues. But the other thing is that this really doesn't represent a dramatic change or even at best a marginal change in what the current police policy has been. And so we probably should have done a better job in touting this to make sure that people understood that, if nothing else, and particularly our immigrant community understanding it. And I certainly have spoken to many groups about it, Rotary, Kiwanis, as well as just a few days ago, many people asked questions about it at the 70th anniversary of the Indian subcontinent's democracy. But in terms of, we haven't done a press release, I haven't made any kind of official statement statement on that, and we probably should have, just to make that clear.
Well, one piece of feedback that we heard over the last few days is from Tom Cullen, who's an attorney with the local ACLU chapter.
Yes.
He's one of the big proponents of the Welcoming City Ordinance last year. And he welcomes the new policy that Chief Wheeler has talked about, but didn't think that the police department did a very good job of collaborating with community members on developing that policy. He referred to it as secrecy around this policy. Is that a fair point? Could the police department do more outreach on that?
I'm sure anybody can always do more and better with communication. We've just talked about a situation where we could have done a better job as a city with communication. I don't know the specific steps that the police department honestly took as they were developing this. But the one thing that I would say is that a police department is a paramilitary organization, and they are not like elected officials who are constantly talking to and with their constituents and need to be as in touch as possible. Not that police don't need to be in touch, but very often they do things in a sort of chain of command form. Again, that is just speculation on my part, but I'm sure we can always do more. But at the bottom line is we have the policy. It is in place. We do have new elections coming very shortly, April 2nd. By the way, get out and vote, listeners, if you're in Bloomington or in Normal. At least one third of the council will change, and that will dramatically change the culture. And it might very well change the balance of power on lots of issues, and possibly the Welcoming City ordinance. We will see. We'll see on April 2nd.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, let's pivot and talk about parks and recreation offerings in the city. The city hired a consultant called Greenplay to gather public and official feedback. And they developed a new Parks and Rec master plan, first one since 1997. Aldermen voted this week to approve that. So what'd you think of what they came up with?
I think overall it was a critical exercise, and by exercise I don't mean to demean it. It's you need to have a plan, and that is what do you want to do within the next few years? What do you want to do 5 years out or 10 years out? And also to assess your current resources. Where are your parks? How big are they? What resources do they have at those varying parks? And are they strategically located? Could some of them be repurposed? Do you need more parks in certain areas? And so that's one that I think is its perhaps greatest strength. What I would have obviously liked to have seen would be a strong proposal for a rec center. A city our size really should have a rec center, or maybe even an intergovernmental agreement with Normal, have some kind of recreation center. When I was a kid, I grew up in a city of 7,000 people. They had a recreation center. No, it didn't have a lot of stuff, but you could shoot hoops and play bumper pool, and just outside was a swimming pool and tennis courts. So I think having something like that in a city the size of Bloomington, or maybe a few of them sprinkled throughout the city, would not be a bad idea for the long term. It is not just a quality of life issue, it's also an economic kind of issue. And that is, it makes it easier for us to attract people if we have more amenities. Attract people for businesses, attract people to come to work for Illinois Wesleyan, Illinois State University, State Farm, whatever, if we have more quality of life amenities. Mm-hmm. And that's what hard-nosed businessmen and women will tell you as well.
Well, you've got an entire Parks and Recreation and Cultural Arts department that's filled with smart people. You have elected officials like you who've got ideas for stuff like this rec center that you're talking about. You've got a city manager, Tim Gleason, who you've praised for being a little bit more decisive and fast acting than some of his predecessors. And I guess my question is it really necessary for the city to spend $115,000 on a master plan like this, generating master planning documents like this? And that could be money you put toward a program or somebody's salary or, just holding the line on taxes. What do you
think? Absolutely. I think that's a very, very good point. I would say the rationale for having it is you do have another set of eyes, someone who's not part of the daily routine, someone who can come in and do an independent assessment of your assets and where you might go into the future within the parameters. And let's also be clear, the Parks Master Plan doesn't spend any money. It's a plan, just like our downtown plan or a comprehensive plan. And the budget process that we're beginning right now is a separate process each year that we would go through, and budget amendments, et cetera. So the funding is separate from the plans for the future.
I also wanted to get your reaction to this Governing Magazine investigation of segregation issues in downstate Illinois communities that was published a week or two ago. The issues that the investigation raised were more pronounced in Peoria and Springfield. Bloomington certainly wasn't singled out on a lot of things. But one thing it was singled out on was this big disparity between median incomes for white and black households.
Absolutely, yes.
Bloomington's would rank in the top 10% nationally of having the worst disparity there. And I wanted to get your reaction to that. I assume you've seen this
yes, and just to be clear, Governing Magazine started in the late 80s by Congressional Quarterly. It is an extremely reputable, one of the most reputable publications dealing with state and local government that are out there. So they certainly do their job, and they do it fair, and they do it very thoroughly. So I would say this is something, another problem. I mean, we know that it's there, but they've highlighted for us even more how we need to work on these income disparities and what are some of our policy options that we can do. Now, some of the issues we probably can't do without state approval or our state level kinds of issues and taxation issues, but there are definitely some things that we can do. And some of the things that we've tried to do to improve quality of life for people of all races, but disproportionately, frankly, the West Side, which does tend to have people who are, whether they're white or non-white, less affluent, disproportionately non-white, and in terms of code enforcement, in terms of housing quality, other affordable housing, a lot of other issues where, you know, we can work on. And that should be a rallying cry for us, frankly.
Yeah, I think you've seen this governing thing shared on social media over the last few days.
Absolutely.
One comment in particular stood out to me from Jen Carrillo, the candidate for Bloomington City Council in Ward 6. She shared kind of a graphic that had the income disparity point on it, and she said, quote, "More charity projects for the West Side will never address this issue or disrupt this pattern of racial inequity." She says it demands that our city do better. So as you think about policy options for something like this, this is a big issue, you know, changing the economy of an area. What are things that a city government at that level can actually do?
One of the things that we can do, some of the things that we have done, for example, is work with Connect Transit to make sure that we've got a mobile workforce. So even though, and I agree, by the way, with Jen. Jen Carrillo is absolutely right on the money. We don't need these pat-on-the-head charity projects or anytime we do something for the West Side, oh, yeah, that's a redistributive program. No, people on the West Side and the East Side, Central Bloomington, we are all residents of this community. And, you know, different areas need different things. And so in the case of West Bloomington, there are generations, frankly, of sins of the past that we can do something about. Can we solve them in a year or 2 years or 5 years? No, but we can certainly make progress. So Connect Transit, the money that we give about $750,000 to Connect Transit each year. We partner with Normal to make sure that they have more regular service and now Sunday service allows people from all parts of the community to get to work, to get to a Heartland Community College or to ISU, but usually disproportionately it tends to be Heartland. And that's just from my own independent polling by writing at peak times on Connect Transit and talking to people about where they're going, what they're doing. So I think making sure that the opportunities are there, that we grow our local economy, that we work on revitalizing our older neighborhoods and our downtown to make sure that the entire community thrives, that all boats float, I think has to be one of our top priorities.
Well, Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
That's Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner with GLT's Ryan Denham. The mayors of Bloomington and Normal join us after their regularly scheduled council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Normal Mayor Chris Coos.